Let's get it on.
Blog Talk Radio.
Happy New Year, America.
That's right. Happy New Year. Let's get it cranked up, Rob. You ready?
Let's do this thing, Doc.
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Welcome in. On the air. What? Not adjust your phone or your internet connection.
Your time is up. My time is now. You
well,
can't
man.
See me. My time is now. It's a franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me. My time is now.
Yes, sir. Welcome to a brand new show for the new year. You are now tuned in to Talking Sports for 12 Minutes. Today is Tuesday, January the 1st, 2013. That's got a nice little ring to it. And we are really excited to bring the show to you. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Mr. Robert Ford. And as always, sir, I got to check in to see how you are doing on this fantabulous brand new year, sir.
Oh, man, doing great, man. Got a chance to go to the movies today. My belly's full. I'm sleepy, but I got enough energy to do a top-notch show tonight, man. Let's get this party going.
I love it. I love it. We are already excited. We got a lot of fun topics to discuss. And as always, I want to throw out the pertinence for you guys that are listening to us. I want to call in, join the show, follow us, all that good stuff. Call into the show. The number it is 424-243-9519. If you want to call in, add your thoughts. Or if you want to tweet us, the tweet address is at the number 12, THMAN, 12 Man Sports. And also, we're also on Facebook at Talking Sports 12 Man. You can go to facebook.com/12manSports, and you'll find a lot of great information, informational tweets, videos, all that fun stuff as always, and it is on like a light. So without further ado, let's jump into this this great show, as always, and we're going to talk about college football. Football is kind of king in our world, so we'll jump right into it. We got a lot of bowl games to discuss, and Rob, I got to tell you, sir, I'm actually glad I'm not a betting man because a lot of the games that we predicted, I know I've been off, so it's just been very interesting and a lot of good games and a lot of interesting turnouts. But let's jump right into a lot of our predictions, and we'll jump right into that with the first one being the Sugar Bowl in New Orleans, Louisville versus Florida. Let's kick it right off, sir, and I'll let you kind of get the first crack at this since it's in your home state.
Well, yeah, the first thing I'm going to let everybody know in America, yeah, experts like us are sometimes wrong, too. So, all of our predictions are not going to be right.
Experts, you know? I love it.
So, we're going to be wrong sometimes, too. So that's just the nature of the beast. But, we're at least gutsy enough to make some bold predictions sometimes. So, with that being said, Sugar Bowl, Florida all the way. And I know, like I said, we've been wrong on some things that we thought we were really confident about, but I'm still really confident about Florida winning this game by at least two touchdowns in the Sugar Bowl.
Yeah, I think Florida's going to pull this off. It's pretty good if you're Charlie Strong because, you don't have to worry about not a lot of pressure. You just got that contract extension. I think Louisville will play well, but as you mentioned, I think Florida's going to pull this game out without any problems. And as you said, two touchdowns, I think that's going to be a good call. Let's talk about our next bowl game, the Fiesta Bowl, featuring Oregon at Kansas State. And you keep hearing a lot of interesting things about this game. This is going to also talk about our NFL coaches because you hear a lot about Chip Kelly possibly moving on to the NFL. And you hope that his team is focused enough. You don't hope there's a lot of distraction with this game. But once again, sir, I'm going to let you have the crack of this one because we know how I'm leaning on the big Bill Snyder fan. I like KSU in this game, and I'm really starting to lean towards them a little bit more, even though Oregon has that dynamic, fast offense, and you just wonder if the Oregon team is actually focused with a lot of distractions going on this week. So I'll leave it to you, sir.
Well, I think both of these teams are evenly matched as far as on paper is concerned. So you have to look for something that's going to lean to, over to one team. And I think, as you mentioned, the Chip Kelly factor possibly being distracted by quite a few NFL teams being interested in hiring him as becoming the head coach. You got to think that Kansas State may be the more focused team for this matchup. But I think as far as personnel, as far as the way the teams have been playing all season, I think it's an evenly matched, they're two evenly matched teams. So I got to go with what I'm thinking is a little bit more focused team, and that being Kansas State. But I think it's still going to be a close game. I think Kansas State wins this game by 3 to 6 points.
Yeah, it's going to be a close game for sure. And like you said, I love how that's a great analogy, too. You have to look at certain keys, certain different, you know, teams are evenly matched. Maybe there's a senior quarterback or different things that kind of differentiate that team. But very good. I like it. I like it. I like it. And the experts are definitely talking. Let's talk about our next game, sir, the Cotton Bowl. Texas A&M, the Heisman Trophy winner, Johnny Manziel, brings the Aggies versus Oklahoma and Landry Jones and Mr. Bob Stoops. And this is a big game, sir. And I think every week I flip-flop on this pick, man. But I think earlier I had Oklahoma only because of the senior quarterback. And now, I mean, like I said, I think Texas A&M is riding on a nice little high. So I'm going to switch and maybe lean toward the Aggies. But I guess I'm always curious to hear what you have to say about this since you have a lot of good insight, sir.
Yeah, I'm still leaning toward the Aggies on this one, too. You look at the tough schedule that they play, playing in the SEC, one on the road at Alabama, you know, had some really big wins. They really finished the season really strong. And I think we really look at the personnel of this Texas A&M team. I mean, you got to really look at it. You got the potential for having three first-round picks. You got a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback. You got two offensive linemen on their roster here that's going to be first-round picks. And both offensive tackles, and then you got a pass rusher, DeMontre Moore, who's also going to be a first-round pick, too. So this is a ball club that has some NFL talent. You know, I don't know if a lot of people realize that, but this team is not a fluke that they went 10-2 this year. They have some great personnel on their roster, and I think they have better personnel on their roster than Oklahoma, and I think they'll win the ball game.
I like it. Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a nice analogy, too, sir, because – definitely something to think about, too, because before, whenever you thought Texas A&M was joining the SEC, you thought they were going to be able to take them some time to kind of ramp up and get that personnel. But as you mentioned, they have a lot of NFL talent, and they went through that gauntlet of going through a tough SEC, you know, which obviously gets the nod for being one of the toughest conferences. And they held their own, and as you mentioned, beating the national championship team, or the team that's in the national championship, excuse me, in Alabama. So you've got to like Texas A&M. You know, Oklahoma, as far as them having a senior quarterback, not sure about how they play well in big games. So you got to like how the way Texas A&M is going to play. And like I said, it's going to be a very intriguing game, and I'm looking forward to it. But I do think the Aggies are definitely have a shot to win this game. The next game, let's talk about the BBVA Compass Bowl. We're kind of dropping some little bowls here. This is Pittsburgh at Ole Miss. And once again, sir, let's lean to you as far as getting some insight on this particular matchup.
Well, I like Ole Miss in this ball game, and you know, I have to go with the SEC a little bit here. I think once again, this could be a game that could be really close. I'm looking at also about a 3-6 point victory here, and I think Ole Miss. The difference in the game is going to be their talent and the skill positions. I think in a trencher, these two teams are probably going to be pretty equal, but I think Ole Miss is better at the skill positions, a little bit more athleticism at the wide receiver and corner positions, and I think that could be the difference in the ball game here. Hugh Freeze has done a phenomenal job this first year at Ole Miss as well. I like Ole Miss.
I like Ole Miss as well. Good job. Good pick. Let's keep going, sir. Let's talk about the next bowl, the GoDaddy.com bowl. We got Kent State versus Arkansas State. Hopefully they're going to be focused with Gus Miles on moving on. What do you think about this matchup, sir?
I tell you what, yeah, I like Kent State here. They played some really big games this year, and the MAC is a pretty tough conference. A lot of the conference doesn't get a lot of credit. You see,
yeah.
You got Northern Illinois here playing in the Orange Bowl. I mean, they're losing, of course, but I still think this is a conference that's very underrated and has some pretty good ball clubs. I like Kent State to beat Arkansas State here.
Yeah, I like Kent State too, and only because of the fact that, you know, kind of similar to what's going on with Oregon. I just think there's a lot of things going on with a lot of movement, so I don't know if they're going to be focused. So, you know, I love Rob brings you the straight matches, and I bring the intangible side to this game too. So a lot of things going on. Like you said, Kent State is very underrated. They've got a pretty good offense, so I definitely like them in this particular bowl game. So we'll see how it plays out. Ha, we are saving the best for last, or the BCS National Championship game. Alabama versus Notre Dame. If you've been under rock, obviously this is pretty big. We can't wait, sir, to see a playoff system, but for now we got to settle for this. And as much as much as everyone seems to be going for Alabama, I'm going to go the opposite direction, go for Notre Dame for the upset. Only because anything can happen, man. A lot of these teams that you thought could do some things in certain games, it's been we've been turned upside down. So, I don't know. That's kind of how I'm predicting.
As much as I would like to see Notre Dame win this ball club, just got a score update here in the Orange Bowl. Northern Illinois just going to touchdown. Pending an extra point, they should be cutting this game down 17-10, with Florida State still being ahead. But sorry to interrupt my prediction here, but getting back to Alabama, as much as I would like to see Notre Dame win this ball game, I just think Alabama is just too experienced. The coach is too experienced. I think they have better talent from top to bottom. And I look at a 20-10 kind of victory here for Alabama in this BCS championship game. And there might be two other teams in the SEC that may also be better than Notre Dame this year. And I just think Alabama will be too strong in the end for them.
Gotcha. This reminds me of the USC-Texas game back a couple years ago. And Vince Young was leading the underrated team versus the then-dominant USC Trojans who people thought could beat NFL teams. So, never know, man. It can always happen, man. So, we'll
never know.
Like that, man.
I'll tell you what, I'm an SEC guy, but I'm pulling for Notre Dame. I can tell you that. But I just don't see it happening. So, as much as I would like to see it happen, I just think that Alabama's the best team. But trust me, I will be ecstatic if Notre Dame found a way to win.
Gotcha. As always, man, we appreciate the predictions. And for those, are we crazy? Are we nuts? Do you want to call in and share your predictions? Or if you want to post something on our Facebook page, before you do so, I'm going to throw out the numbers once again. Everyone's hopefully enjoying a nice New Year's. Hopefully you didn't have too much fun last night. You're enjoying the bowl games and stuff like that. The number to call in is 424-243-9519. Don't forget to hit us up. Tweet us at 12th Man Sports. We're also on Facebook Talking Sports, 12th Man or 12th Man Sports as well. Let's talk about our second topic. So we're going to do some fantasy shout-outs, and as always, you do a great job of that. So I'm going to throw the show to you and let you do your thing, sir.
Yeah, real quick, I know we got a lot of other things to talk about, but real quick, we want to say thanks again for everybody that competed in our Fantasy Football League this year. It is now officially over, and congratulations to the Shark. Good buddy Manny down in Houston won the championship this year, and so congrats to him. And we look forward to another great Fantasy Football League 2013. I think next year we'll have enough people to have two leagues, so stay tuned for that. And, as we give information about Fantasy Football for 2013 on next year. Also, we have a Fantasy Basketball League taking place right now. And in first place currently, Dr. Duncanstein, Herb Daniels, a good friend of ours, been competing with us for quite some time. So he's holding down the first place spot. And also, we have a College Bowl Pick'em Challenge that's taking place right now. And yours truly, Robert Ford, is holding down the first place spot right now. Hopefully, I can stay there until the end. And so, once again, we'd just like to thank all of you for competing. And for those of you all who are not competing and may be interested, please send us your information, Talking Sports at the 12, Talking Sports 12th Man on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. And you can get some email information or send us a message with that info. And we'll make sure we get the information out to you for next season.
Yeah, so those that are following, like I said, on Facebook, I know I don't want to confuse people trying to find us on Facebook. It is Talking, I'm sorry, 12th Man Sports. So I keep thinking it's Talking Sports, but that's just the title page. But it's 12th Man Sports on Facebook. So you can find us without any problems, all that fun stuff as Robert mentioned.
Exactly. On Facebook is Talking Sports with the 12th Man. On Twitter, it's 12th Man Sports.
Keep it going. Yeah, let's keep it going as we move on. And I like it. So this has been a pretty interesting fantasy. And I went up against the Shark this past weekend, man. I think he just, like, killed me, man. I think I got 28 points from my defense. He still killed me. I think he's got, like, a pretty super loaded team, man. So, congrats to the Shark, as you mentioned. And we'll keep it going as always. Where are we at, sir? We are going to do some NFL playoff predictions, and obviously the playoffs are starting this week. And
Northern Illinois just ran a trick onside kick and recovered, so just a little update from the Orange Bowl there.
Yeah, this is interesting too. Northern Illinois is pulling all the stops, you know. So I think they're catching Florida State off guard. So we'll keep an eye on that too. Thanks, Rob, for keeping us updated about that. The NFL playoff predictions. First, we're going to jump into the AFC side, and we're going to start with Cincinnati at Houston. Now, believe it or not, Houston had a lot of stuff in their hands. They could control their own playoff destiny, as they say. And they did not handle business against a very, very focused Colts team. But I figured any team that would have went into there with Chuck Pagano coming back and just sold out stadium, I think it would be tough for any team to actually come back and win that game. But now the Texans look very, very vulnerable is the word I would say. And right now I don't think they're as strong as we think. And I actually think Cincinnati is going to go in there and actually pull an upset. So as much as I hate to admit that, I think it's going to be tough for Houston. They haven't been playing that well right now, and I think it's going to be a very, very tough matchup for them. So we're going to kick it off with that. And what do you think about this matchup, Rob?
Well, I know we have a lot of listeners in the Houston area, and they're not going to like this, but I would have to agree with you. I'm actually predicting Cincinnati on the road to go down to Houston and pull off the win. I think Houston has just picked a bad time of the year to hit a slump. And I think Cincinnati's been playing pretty well. I like what Marvin Lewis and Mike Zimmer, defensive coordinator for the Bengals, Marvin Lewis, head coach, of course. I like what they're doing with the Bengals defense. I mean, they have a great front seven up there in Cincinnati, and the secondary is good enough. And I like what they're doing on defense. Matt Schaub has hit a slump. And Houston's having some offensive line issues right now. They're not protecting the quarterback. They're not opening up running lanes. Team's been able to get to Schaub. And I think with Cincinnati, the way their defense is playing, I like them to go on the road and get a win. And, yeah, I definitely like you. If you can travel with a defense in a running game, you have a very good chance of winning, and I like Cincinnati.
Gotcha. Let's talk about the other AFC matchup, the aforementioned Indianapolis Colts versus the Baltimore Ravens. And as much as I like the Colts and everything they're going from, I think they're gonna their season may come to an end because I think the Ravens are going to be focused and got more of a tougher defense, even though they're a little older now. But I don't think it's going to be a close game by any means. I think the Colts are going to play well. I just think they're kind of a young team, and then they run into more of experienced Ravens team. So that's my prediction for the next game.
Yeah, I think, Ray Lewis coming back here in this playoff game, I think the Ravens will be inspired. I like them at home to win this game, but I think it's going to be closer than what the experts say. And so I look at a very close football game here. I wouldn't be surprised if it's the last-second field goal for Baltimore to win this ball game. I think it's going to be really close, but I think that in the end, it'll be just slightly too strong for the Colts.
Yeah, good job. Let's talk about the next game. We're going to go to the NFC side. We got Minnesota at Green Bay. And it was tough to watch, man. I was going for Adrian Peterson to break Eric Dickerson's record. He fell 9 yards short for that particular goal. I guess this is interesting too. The Vikings played inspired, but now it kind of flips the script. They're playing at Green Bay, and Green Bay. I mean, as much as Adrian Peterson gave them all they had, Christian Ponder made just enough plays. And do you think they kind of showed their hand as far as this game, Rob? And how do you think it's going to play out in this particular instance?
Well, I don't think, I think anytime you have two divisional opponents going head-to-head, I don't think it matters about showing your hand. I think these teams know each other that well. I mean, you throw out the records a lot of times when two divisional opponents meet. And, the teams just know each other so well. They study each other very, very hard in the offseason. But I still think Green Bay at home will be too strong for Minnesota. But I don't think it has anything to do with showing your hand, anything like that. I just think Green Bay is going to be a better team playing at home. I like for them to win this game by two touchdowns.
Two touchdowns. Wow. Okay. All right. The frozen tundra definitely has the nostalgia of that, too. I mean, I think Green Bay's going to pull it out, maybe by 10 points, but we'll see how that plays out. So it's going to be good. Next game, everybody's hot favorite team, the Seattle Seahawks, and the rookie quarterback Russell Wilson is not playing like a rookie, versus RG3, rookie number two, and the Washington Redskins.
Now, this is also not playing like a rookie.
Yeah, both of these guys are playing, and also same thing with Andrew Luck. A lot of these guys are playing lights out. This is an interesting game, Rob, because a lot of teams, or a lot of personnel are loving, it's like Seattle is like a new darling of the league. Now, they look pretty impressive at home with the 12th man behind them, with our namesake, obviously. But now they're going on the road. They're 3-5 on the road. You made a comment about defense and running game travels. But what do you think they're going to run into a team like the Redskins and a very experienced head coach in Mike Shanahan? What do you think about this particular game? I'm going to kind of throw this one to you first.
I think this game is going to be a fun game to watch. I think it's going to be very interesting. And I look for whoever wins this game is only going to score about 21 points. I think Seattle's defense is very strong and legit. And I think Pete Carroll's built a very athletic defense. My only concern here with this, you look at Seattle, they're all the way up there in the Pacific Northwest by themselves. You know, you're traveling to Washington in the Mid-Atlantic States area. That's a long flight. You're talking about a five-hour flight for a team to travel. I mean, if this game was even in the Midwest somewhere, I think I would pick Seattle. But I'm just having a hard time picking Seattle to travel all the way across the country and beat the Redskins. I like the Redskins in a very tight football game. I'm talking 20-17, 21-17, something along those lines. I just think the Redskins eke out a victory here.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because whenever you look at the way that the Redskins are playing, I mean, they don't have a lot of – they've got a lot of decent talent. It's kind of very similar to what the Seattle has. I mean, you know, if you look at them, they got Marshawn Lynch just crazy running. They got just enough weapons, and it's all about defense. Like you said, it's going to be a tight game, a field position game. You look at little tweaks as far as how it plays out. You got to like Shanahan in that running game. They're probably going to grind it out against Seattle. And it's going to be a very, very close game, as you mentioned. But I do think slightly Seattle will, excuse me, Washington will pull this game out too. So we'll keep that going.
We agree on just about every game.
Just about every game. And, you know, I was kind of making checks on this too because I felt like Seattle was going to do some things, but they're just not the strongest team on the road. But, you know, they're hot right now, so we'll see what's going to happen. But, you know, you got to factor in all those different elements too. So we will keep it going. We got about 8 minutes to go on the show, Rob, and as we know, Black Monday has come and gone, and there's a lot of head coaches that have lost their jobs and some GMs as well. So let's jump into this, and we're going to talk about we're probably going to spend a majority of the time talking about this, and as far as what's going to happen and the replacements, all that fun stuff too. So I'm going to shoot out a couple of these, and then we'll talk about some options and what you think and some rumors about who's going to fill these guys too. First and foremost, we'll start off with the Cleveland Browns. They actually fired their head coach, Pat Shurmur, and their GM, Tom Hecker. Man, should I fire these off, Rob? You want to kind of talk about each individual ones or how you want to do this, sir?
Yeah, we'll kind of go over all the seven. You know, is it a good move? Is it a bad move? Who do you think is going to replace these coaches? And I think if you're looking at the Cleveland Browns situation here, I mean, Pat Shurmur was only head coach after 2 years. And he hasn't shown any signs of improvement. I like to give a head coach at least 3 years. That's just me. You know, you give a guy a chance to get his draft picks in place. And, but, you know, I'm not going to say this is a bad move by firing him. He just got a new owner, and he wants to get his own personnel, his own people in place. And that typically is what happens. So I'm not going to say, you know, it's a bad move or a good move in this situation. I do know. Based on the sources that I have regarding the Cleveland Browns situation, the Browns are heavily favored toward Chip Kelly. They're waiting for after this Fiesta Bowl is over with here this coming Thursday night, and we'll try to get him up to Cleveland as quickly as possible to get the interview in place. He is their number one guy. And, you know, at one point, you know, you didn't want to hire a college coach, but with the recent success of Jim Harbaugh and Pete Carroll, two guys out of the Pac-12. I got Chip Kelly out of the Pac-12. You know, he's pretty innovative, but he kind of runs that spread in college. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of system he will run in the NFL. And but that's the direction that it looks like Cleveland is going in.
I think this is a bad move if they get Chip Kelly, and not because of the fact that I don't think Chip Kelly is a good coach. I just think they need like a more of a proven guy. And you know, I know they're kind of looking for that splash. You know, and obviously, you know, Cleveland would need something like that because they're, you know, obviously losing LeBron and stuff like that. That city's kind of going through a lot. I think they need more of a, you know, more of a proven guy to come in there and to kind of take ahead of that franchise. But, you know, I could be wrong. But in that instance, you know, like you said, new owner, they're trying to get maybe trying to bring some excitement to the team and stuff like that. So we'll see if it plays out. We'll see if Chip Kelly can resist the move. And I would actually go for Kirk LaFrench from Iowa versus Chip Kelly, but, you know, that's just me. So we'll keep an eye on this particular situation and what's going to happen with that. They've already got a young quarterback and a pretty good running back in Trent Richardson, so they can do nothing but kind of continue to build on the success that those guys have. Let's talk about the – go ahead.
One other quick note I'd like to wrap up here with Cleveland, and I don't think a lot of people are talking about Dick Geron, the defense coordinator in Cleveland this past year, did a phenomenal job. And
yeah.
I think Cleveland has one of the more up-and-coming defenses here in the league as well.
So I
think if Cleveland is smart, whatever new coach comes in, they should try to do all they can to retain Dick Geron. So I think he did a phenomenal job as defense coordinator this year.
Gotcha. Love it. Good job, Rob. The next thing we're going to focus on are the San Diego Chargers. They lost the head coach, Norv Turner, and GM A.J. Smith. I think this was a good move because, you know, Norv Turner, that team, he ran a Ferrari into the ground personally. You know, the Chargers, they have a pretty good, I mean, you got the franchise quarterback. I just think they've made some questionable moves as far as both coaching and also the GM. I mean, I'm sure San Diego Chargers, they're still mad at A.J. Smith for passing Clay Matthews for Larry English. You know, he also traded up a bunch of draft picks to get Ryan Matthews, and right now that's not looking like a good move. And it's easy for us to second-guess some things, but if you're a potential guy, I mean, the San Diego Chargers, that's a good situation because you already got the franchise quarterback, maybe you sure up some defense, made a couple moves, and, you know, that's a good team, I think.
Yeah, I think this is a job that Andy Reid has serious interest in. Unfortunately, the Chargers have no interest in Andy Reid. And the Chargers historically has not paid top dollars to get a top-name coach in. I would agree that firing off Turner, you know, unfortunately, I hate to say firing somebody, it was a good move. But, you know, that's the nature of the beast in the NFL. And Norv Turner, in my opinion, is a great offensive coordinator, a so-so head coach. So I think, you know, a team that's looking for a good offensive coordinator, I think Norv Turner will be perfect. He's got a great track record as offensive coordinator, not so great track record as a head coach. So I think San Diego needs to get somebody proven. Now, this is another little snippet regarding San Diego Chargers. There is a slight possibility San Diego could be moving to Los Angeles in another year. There's still some stadium issues in San Diego. They still don't have a new lease agreement. A new mayor is in there in San Diego, says he has no interest in giving San Diego Chargers what they want, you know, just giving them everything they want. So he's going to make it hard on them. So don't be surprised this team moves to L.A. in a year. So I think the Chargers need to go out and make a big splash. They need to finally go out to somebody and make a big splash as a head coach. And in my personal opinion, they need to go and get somebody with some pizzazz, especially if they're going to be moving to L.A. in a year. They need to go out and get somebody like a John Gruden, somebody who's going to excite the fan base there in a city like Los Angeles in the event they move there within a year. So I think it's time for them to go out and pay some big money to get a big-name coach in there.
Gotcha. Love it. So we're about 2 minutes into the left in the on the live portion of the show. So can we set up the OT portion, Robin, also next week as well so we can get started? And for those who are listening, you can still archive the show and listen to this because we're sure going to keep talking about this. We got 5 more head coaches to discuss and a lot of previews as far as what we're hearing as far as who's going to fill these positions too. So I'll leave you, Robin, set it up. We'll go into that.
Definitely. If you guys are just sitting in front of your computer, click on the same link that you clicked on tonight. And you can click it. You'll get the remaining 15 minutes of our OT portion. We still got some more head coaching carousel to talk about here in the NFL. We got Super Bowl predictions coming up. We got Final Four predictions coming up. So if you all just on a computer, click on the same link. You can get our OT portion. Next week, we're back to our normal time, Tuesday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific for our great friends in Hawaii. It's 5 p.m. your time. So don't miss us on next Tuesday night, January the 8th. We'll be recapping the playoffs from this upcoming weekend, and recapping the BCS National Championship game on next week. So you don't want to miss it.
I just want to thank all of our listeners for listening to us. In 2012 was kind of our first foray into the sports talk arena, so we just want to thank everyone for sticking with us and for giving us so many great reviews and all that good stuff. So we definitely want some more feedback, man. Call us in. We definitely love any type of your comments, questions, all that fun stuff. We'll keep it going, and we're looking forward to a great, great year of talking sports with 12 men. So for Robert Ford, I'm Andre, and we'll keep it going, and we're going to talk OT stuff, and we are here for you guys, too. So that's all I got to say. You have anything else to say, Rob, as we wrap up and set up the OT?
Good night, people. Happy New Year once again.
Happy New Year once again. It's a pretty good game. All right, let's keep it going, Rob. And the OT portion starts right now. And let's talk about the next head coaching position. I was trying to go alphabetical order, but I went with teams that had GMs and head coaches. So that's kind of how I did my little thing, too. So let's talk about that. And the Cardinals, and this was actually a surprise move. I didn't think they were going to fire Ken Whisenhunt, but they actually let go of him. And they let go of the GM, Rod Graves. And word on the street from Adam Scheffler of ESPN is that Andy Reid is in the process of agreeing with the deal with the Cardinals. So if that's the case, this is big news because obviously if you're Kevin Cobb, you're excited because you had a lot of success, and that means Arizona doesn't have to go out and get a quarterback. But what's your thoughts about this move, number one, Ken Whisenhunt? I didn't think it was going to happen. I think Arizona has a pretty good team already. They just had problems with the quarterback. So what are your thoughts about this, sir?
Well, yeah, I think it's based on our sources. I think it's almost a done deal. Of course, Arizona still has to abide by the Rooney Rule, but I think with that being said, it looks like Arizona's going to go out and get Andy Reid, and you can't argue with that. I mean, I'm sure Andy Reid, outstayed his welcome there in Philadelphia, but he's still got to look at his overall body of work, and his overall body of work was pretty good there in Philadelphia. So he's definitely worthy of another head coaching opportunity. And so I think if you're Arizona, I think this is a very good move. Not so sure I agree with them firing Whisenhall, but, you can't argue with them hiring Andy Reid. He's a proven head coach, and, he's got a proven track record with Kevin Cobb. Even though in my current mock draft, I have Arizona taking Mike Lennon in the first round. So they could still look at a quarterback in his draft possibly. So that would be interesting to see what happens there. But if you're Arizona, I don't think you can argue with Andy Reid taking over as the head coach. He's already trying to put together a staff there, so that should be interesting as well.
Yep. And this is interesting, Rob, because this is one of the situations, too, where, if I'm Cleveland, I think Andrew, and I know this is kind of opposite, but I think Andrew would have been a perfect fit there, too, because, here you have a guy that he's kind of a good name. I mean, yeah, he's outside his welcome at Philadelphia, but I think he would have been great because he brings stability to that franchise. He's a proven head coach. Obviously he didn't get over the hump, but for certain guys that that's the next phase, and I think he works well with young quarterbacks and all that good stuff. He has good quarterback friendly offense, so he would have been nothing but help out wonders for Brandon Whedon. But as mentioned, it's interesting. We're not making the decisions. But if you're going with Arizona, I think it's a good fit, and that team is pretty talented already. So you add Andy Reid and a pretty solid offense, I think that team could be just as scary. So they need to figure out who's going to be running the rock. But other than that, we'll see how that plays out. The next filling, which is another surprise, Robin. This is the Chicago Bears, and they actually let go of Lovie Smith. And this was a surprise move, I thought, because the only reason why the Bears didn't make the playoffs is just due to some ties, and numbers didn't work out well for them. I know they didn't really play that well during the they had a couple of stretches where they didn't play that well, and I'm sure that's kind of the reason why this move was made, but I don't agree with it. Let's talk about some options as far as what do you think the next moves for the Bears are. Jay Cutler, I can take him or leave him. They had a great defense, but, great special teams, but just things didn't play out. So what do you think about this move, sir?
Well, I think out of all the coaching firings, this was the worst.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to imagine. I mean, the Bears went 10-6, just missed the playoffs here. They're 10-6 teams in the playoffs, and they just lost a bad tiebreaker that kept them out of the playoffs. This was the worst firing. In my opinion, of them all. And I totally agree with Mike Ditka. He kind of went off there in Chicago and said they made a huge mistake. And looking at the guys they're bringing in as possible replacements, I'm not even sold on a lot of the guys they're even bringing in. I mean, Joe DeCamanilis, the special teams coordinator.
Yeah.
Out of Dallas, special teams coordinator out of Atlanta with Keith Armstrong. Mike McCoy, offensive coordinator from Denver. Obviously, he might be the most attractive of the three. And but you know, I'm still, I just don't see any of those guys being better than Lovie Smith. And I think the Bears made a huge mistake, and they probably are going to pay for it here the next couple of years.
Yeah, I agree. It's very, very disappointing. But, you know, being a big fan of Lovie Smith, he got him the Super Bowl a couple years ago. The good news is that I think a lot of teams are very interested in him. And this is kind of like to your point in that, you know, 10-6, you know, I don't think he did a bad job. And one of the teams that we're going to talk about is the Bills and Chan Gailey. They actually fired him. But word of the truth is that they're very highly interested in bringing Lovie Smith to actually come in and interview for the job. So, you know, obviously if you're the Bills, they had a lot of underachievements with their defense, and a guy that's pretty strong defensively within Lovie Smith, he knows defense, so I think it's a good move for them. You got to figure out what's going to happen with the quarterback position with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I know he's been pretty erratic. You know, maybe he gets a better offensive coordinator come in there, and that team could be they have some pieces. They have C.J. Spiller, who's been lightening up, Stevie Johnson. They got a pretty good offense. They just add that quarterback piece, and who knows the next level. Maybe bring in a Michael Vick. Who knows? I'm just throwing out some stuff, Rob. What do you think?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I think Lovie Smith will be a great hire for Buffalo. This is an organization that hasn't won for a long time. And
yeah.
I think Lovie Smith can definitely come in there, help that defense. He hires a great offensive coordinator to come in and help him with the offensive side of the ball. I mean, you do have the Michael Vick option. You know, I know the New York Jets, a lot of reports are they will be interested in Vick as well. And so you have to determine, can you find the quarterback here in free agency or with a trade? Or do you want to count on a draft? And this is a very suspect quarterback draft as of right now. So, yeah, I definitely think that Lovie Smith will be a great hire. I think this will be a great hire, just as good as the Arizona hiring Andy Reid. And if the Chargers, you know, somehow, this is just Robert Ford talking, if they somehow hire John Gruden, those would be three great hires right there.
Gotcha. We love it. The experts are on it. We are keeping it going. Next move, let's talk about the Chiefs, Kansas City Chiefs, and Romeo Crennel getting let go. And I think this was tough, number one, for Romeo Crennel. Just a lot of just bad karma with this team, you know. So I think it's kind of they want a fresh start. You know, they had probably one of the worst they had. They did have the worst record in the league, which is why they're going to get the number one pick. I'm going to talk about two things, Rob. What do you think is going to be a good person to fill them? They obviously have quarterback issues. And I don't know if you saw the tweet today. Cody Dungy has pretty much said that if I'm the Chiefs, and this may be a little out there, he's like, I would take Aaron Murray, quarterback for Georgia with the number one pick. Ha ha. Oh, I love Tony. I love Cody Dungy. I respect him. So I don't know what you think about that, and also what you think would be a good replacement for Romeo Crennel.
Well, I'll just say this. Romeo Crennel only had one full year as a head coach there and a couple of games at the end of that season. And I think it's unfortunate. This is another firing that I didn't necessarily agree with. Not as much as Lovie Smith. I mean, I still think Lovie was the worst firing, but I don't agree with the Romeo Crennel firing after one full season. I mean, you got to give a guy a chance to put his fingerprints on the organization. So I don't necessarily agree with it. And the sad part is, for the Chiefs, this is not a great year to have the number one pick, because as of right now, we don't have a clear-cut franchise quarterback in this draft. You know, I do think the Chiefs are going to reach for one at the number one pick, because I don't think they can go back to their fan base without picking a quarterback this year. So with that being said, they're going to have to hire somebody with an offensive mindset. You know, we talked about Mike McCoy, offensive coordinator from Denver, you know, possibly going to Chicago. I think he could be a pretty good fit for, you know, going to Kansas City. I think another guy you have to look at here, Josh McDaniels, getting another opportunity possibly from New England, and Dirk Cutter from the Falcons. I think if you're Kansas City, you may want to talk to him as well.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, you got to have an offensive guy, you know, definitely come in for this particular position. If you're the Chiefs, same thing. I think you need, like, you don't need I'm kind of curious about the Chiefs because, you know, Scott Pioli, his job's on the line too. You got to bring some more talent. I mean, they have I think they have a pretty decent squad, really young guys on defense, really good defense, surprisingly good defense. So it's just, you know, you got to get that quarterback position solved with the quickness. And I know if you're the Jets, don't go out and reach for Matt Barkley. You can't replace another USC quarterback with another one. I think that's a bad move. Or anyway, I digress. Let's talk about the last one. We had Andy Reid. getting fired by the Eagles. If you were under Rock, you didn't see this one coming, or you knew this was coming. What do you think about the next coach for them? And I thought this would be a pretty good position for John Gruden as well, but just depends on exactly what you're getting into with the Eagles.
Yeah, I think if you're John Gruden, I think it would be a great hire for just about anybody, and I think he has a little bit of a background with the Eagles as well, and I think he can definitely be a match with that fan base. And, there's some talk out there about them talking to Derek Cutter, offense coordinator from the Falcons.
Yep.
And also a couple of special team coordinator guys out there as well. And of course, I'm going to go out on a limb. If they can't get Gruden, if I were them, I would go out and get a guy like Derek Cutter from the Falcons. You got a young quarterback, Nick Foles. You give him an opportunity to go there and develop him. So I would say if you can't get Gruden, go out there and hire a guy like Derek Cutter to come in there and take that job.
Very interesting. It's hard to see somebody else on the sidelines besides Andy Reid, man. It's been a long time, but keep it going. Got about 5 minutes left in the show, Rob. And the last two, I don't know if you want to comment on some GMs that got fired, Mike Tenenbaum for the Jets, Gene Smith with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Both these guys, just circumstances, teams performed pretty badly. But I think the hot seat next year, you got to look at Rex Ryan, you got to look at Ron Rivera, Mike Mularkey, surprised me his first year. Mike, the guy from the Titans, is that Mike Munchak is coaching the Titans?
Mike Munchak, yes.
Yep, so those are the guys that next year, but it's going to be interesting if you're those organizations because, change has got to come for sure, for sure. But Rob's going to comment on that, but I guess we'll move on. And we'll talk about the next thing, and we'll get our college basketball final four. We'll get that in there. But our next topic is, who do you think is going to play in the Super Bowl? Let me jump on this real quick, Rob. And like I said, I'm looking forward to visiting you, so I'm still going with the Falcons. And I'm going to go with the Broncos still. I'm going to keep that pick right now, even though it's going to be a tough game for that championship game. It's setting up looking like the Patriots versus the Broncos, but we'll see how that plays out for now. What do you think, sir?
Yeah, so getting on that Patriots-Broncos, you got Tom Brady and Peyton Manning getting that rivalry back going again. But Denver just seems to be playing better than anybody in the NFL at this current moment. And you got to give that team a lot of credit, Mike McCoy, John Fox, Peyton Manning. They just seem like they have it all going on all three phases of the game right now. And I like Denver in the AFC. And I got a slight change in the NFC. I'm going to go with the San Francisco 49ers, Foul Bay Area listeners. And I'm having Denver and San Francisco in the Super Bowl as of right now. And I have Peyton Manning returning home to New Orleans and getting the victory in the Super Bowl as of right now. I think San Francisco's defense is what's going to carry them over here in the playoffs. And I'm going to go with Denver and San Fran, a rematch of the 1990 or 89 Super Bowl. I can't remember that year. And they played in New Orleans, as a matter of fact. So I see those two franchises returning back to New Orleans for the Super Bowl.
All right. I guess we're not going to be friends for a little while again, but it's all good, man. So keep it going. Keep it rough. I'm just messing with you.
None personal.
I know. I just give you a hard time. All right. You got 2 minutes, sir. Let's talk about the college basketball Final Four predictions. And, Rob, let me start this off, man. I'm going on a limb, man. I'm just going to do something different here. Not too different, but I like this. I think I'm going to go for my Final Four. I'm going to go with Indiana. As much as I hate it, I'm going to go with Duke. I'm going to go with the Louisville, the Cardinals, and I'm also going to go with Michigan. That's who I have for my Final Four, bring back some nostalgia for certain teams. That's what I have for my Final Four.
I'm going to go a little bit different. I have only one I'm going to replace is I'm going to pick Kansas over Indiana. Everybody else I agree with, Louisville, Duke, and Michigan. And I like the way Kansas is playing. As a matter of fact, they're a very underrated center, and Jeff Witte is leading college basketball in block shots. They're controlling the paint, and Bill Self just seems to be doing it again. Then Kansas looked like they only waited in ninth straight Big 12 championship. But I like Louisville out of those four teams to win it all, as a matter of fact. I could have a totally different prediction in a couple of weeks. But as of right now, it looks like Louisville is playing, in my opinion, the best basketball. They got a great blend of a great head coach, veteran leadership, and young talent. on their ball club. But at this moment, we need to be wrapping it up. Once again, if you all are not following us on Twitter, you need to be at 12 Man Sports. If you don't like us on Facebook, you need to like us, Talking Sports at the 12 Man. Once again, join us next Tuesday night, January 8th, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. Andre, any closing remarks?
Just want to say thank you for listening to the show as always, and we'll see you next Tuesday as always.
Once again, returning back to our, we're back to our normal Tuesday night schedule, so we look forward to joining you all